Psalm 8. To the choir master, according to the Githiath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for giving us these psalms to sing, to meditate on, to pray, and to proclaim. We ask now that you would help us, Father, to have our hearts and minds given to these words, and that by your Spirit, we would not only understand how to sing these, but that we would be transformed ourselves through the proclamation of your majestic glory and might. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today we are changing a little bit of the pace of what we have been in lately. We've been in a lot of psalms of lamentations. And now today we get to do a psalm that is considered to be a hymn. Now, the makeup of a psalm that's considered to be a hymn is one that is proclaiming the glory of God as creator and also as redeemer. This is a short psalm. It's a blessing to get this one on one of the sermons that I'm going to attempt to fit into our new schedule. And but it just kept growing as I was thinking and dwelling upon this particular psalm. There's so many things that the Lord is teaching us in this. And it is my prayer that even though this particular psalm today is really a kind of a bonus psalm, you're not going to get as heavy of an admonition as you've been given in the past couple of weeks that led much to lamentation and repentance of sin, though you're not going to get a full out of that. It is one that I want to encourage with admonition and exhortation that we take very seriously, because I think this particular psalm, as much as it is a praise psalm, it is something that we do not allow ourselves to give our minds and hearts to. Let me explain that. If we look at this, we see it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and avenger. Well, let's think about that for a moment. As we think about God creating all things, do we take the time to pause throughout our day to just meditate upon the glory of God in his creation? To not just simply thank him for another day of life, not to just simply acknowledge, oh yeah, he created these things, but then immediately transition to complain about the overly abundance of rain or some particular too hot of a temperature, or man, it sure is humid today. Do we really take the time to study and dwell upon his majesty, and then to look at this passage, this tremendous passage and powerful passage, that out of the mouth of babies and infants, basically out of the mouth of babies and infants, he is touting his power before demons. before Satan, before his enemies. He is taking little children in one respect. Our mind is to go there, to go to actual children. I thought about getting Valerie and saying, this is like a cannon. A cannon in the spiritual warfare that we are called to do. But think about it. I mean, to dwell. A lot of times we'll look at babies and we'll think cute, but then we'll quickly go, yeah, but they're stinky. And they're loud. And we lose sleep. We tend to go to the negative too quickly. Not that those things are not a reality, but do we stop and rest and revel in the tremendous awe of what the power of God has set forth? Now, of course, it doesn't just mean little children, which that alone should, we can dwell upon just the amazement. I was working this week at Food Lion going late into the night, but before we went late into the night, it was about 10 o'clock, and I was telling my family, I'm already kind of in a bit of a sad, grumpy mood, because when I'm working at Food Lion, one of the sad things is a lot of times I'm across the street from distant residential areas, and I'm getting stuff out of this Penske, and I look across the street and I see a family inside of the house, you know, moving around, and I'm like, oh, James knows what I'm talking about. I see him shaking in his head. He's a truck driver, and I know he sees it when you're like, oh, I wish I was at home. And I'm just kind of grumpy and I'm sad, and I'm walking to the store, and you know how some people pull up to the front to pick up their wives or pick up somebody with groceries, and there was somebody there in the driver's seat, and they had a little baby on the steering wheel. You know how you let the little baby sit there, and it just completely changed my demeanor to see this little Hispanic baby holding the steering wheel. And I'm like, wow, what was that? You know, what power that was to just transform me for a moment into a different state of mind. And that's just one element of it. But to stop and to just think about that. And I got a moment, and because it was such a contrast of how I was feeling, I thought, there's something powerful there that God has created in those who bear his image. But what he's ultimately saying here is not specifically just about babies and infants, but that those who are even weak and immature, who proclaim his name, that is more powerful than the deepest, darkest demons and wickedness in this world. That means that the immature Christian who is just a mustard seed of faith, who proclaims his name, who confesses the name of the Lord, who is humble enough to acknowledge his greatness, that the Lord is able to tout before his enemies what great power he has over them. That it's not just those of greatness and those of position, but that he can, with his power, manifest his glory through the weakest of these. In fact, that's what he loves to do the most, because that's where he gets his greatest desire fulfilled, is to take the weakest among us. Those who have received the curse of sin, those of us who have been brought low by death, and to be able to receive glory from their proclamations. To dwell on that, to think about how powerful our God is in this particular day is so necessary. We have so much bad news. I think my wife knows when I'm on the phone what I'm looking at, and she admonishes me to stop reading all the junk that's going on and to just stop, to look at the moon, to look at the stars, to look at the animals. I tell you, go home today and Google cuttlefish. I know I keep talking about cuttlefish to you guys. You've got to watch these cuttlefish. They are amazing to what they can do and how God has created. The cuttlefish can change their color and their texture, and they can make the color change and look like moving stripes. I even saw a video recently where they put a cuttlefish in a tank of checkerboard, and it was able to try to change its shape. in its texture to look like a checkerboard floor. And it, and all of this is occurring while it's not even looking down at it. No one really knows how it does it. And that's the Lord. Why did he create the cuttlefish? Because he is majestic and he is full of glory. And he shows that off, and he wants us to watch the cuttlefish. He created the earth in a way to be an observable earth, to see, to hear, to touch, to feel. We're the only planet that has an atmosphere that allows us to see outside that has any kind of atmosphere of it, that we can look out, that we're not completely covered by clouds, that we can look at the stars. And in this psalm, we are taught to sing these psalms. So first we need to be learning how to go out and to be in awe of our God. So the three things I want you to remember today is I want you to learn how to go further. I know that some of you are already there. Some of you read and you study and you ponder, but to look at everything anticipating to be all by God. Wake up and expect it. Not only thank him that he allowed you to awake, but to look for things so that you can see his glory, so that you may be awed. Now, granted, we even see here in this particular passage that I was just speaking about, there are foes. He is showing off his might in his creation through his people, through the weakest of these. He is showing off his might to foes, to enemies, to people of vengeance, beings of vengeance. So we know that there is a battle. We know that there is bad. We know that we're not just going to be Pollyanna and just think that everything is okay. We are automatically, when we are in this place of observation of his creation and of his people, which is what it's really lifting up here for the glory of God, he is lifting up man. When we see man and we are in awe of the greatness of what God has bestowed upon man, we will encounter very clearly that we are in a broken world, that there is a curse upon us, and so there will be groaning. And we need to groan. We need to groan along with creation. So we need to first be looking for opportunities to be in awe of God, be in awe of the fact that we would stand before the Lord and we say, what is man? What you have made man a little lower than heavenly beings, than angels. Look what man can do. Look what you have done with them. Look what he bears forth of your glory as we look at the intricacies of what you have done in this creation of mankind. There are a lot of medical professionals here, and you've studied it, and you've looked at what the body can do and how the body can react. Be in awe of that. There are young people here that are learning math and reading books of stories and understanding biology, and I know some of it's really hard, but children, in the midst of those challenges of trying to understand how to put all of those formulas together and make the right answer, come be in awe of God and then realize, but it's tough. There's a struggle. Now, that particular struggle is not necessarily related to sin, but usually somewhere in that, you know that there is sin. Like when your mom says, do your homework, and you're like, no! It's too hard. Well, that is sin. And so there is this groaning. And we're called to groan. We have to acknowledge that there is sin. So be in awe. Learn how to groan. The Bible tells us that creation groans, looking for the fulfillment of redemption. As you look at Psalm 8, remember Romans 8. Go and read Romans 8. About how we have a hope in this groaning in Jesus Christ. That he is going to redeem these things that you see that are problematic in our day-to-day activities, the things that are wrong with the world, when you encounter those moments of groaning, realize that we're in a place where we need to be disturbed and longing. Some of you may know of the cathedral in Istanbul, Turkey, named Hagia Sophia, or Hagia Sophia. I'm not probably pronouncing it correctly. At the time that it was built in 537, it was the largest structure in the world when it was called Constantinople. Who do you think built it, children? If it was called Constantinople, who do you think built, who led the building of the Hagia Sophia? Constantine led the building of that. 537, this beautiful cathedral. And they actually wrote songs and chants to be sung in this building, this cavernous, beautiful cathedral. Praises to the Lord. And since 1400s, I can't remember when the Ottoman Empire took over that area and changed it from Constantinople to eventually Istanbul, and it was turned into a mosque, there has not been the singing of praises in that cathedral. Here recently, there's a group called the Cappella Romania that they sing these Byzantine chants of these different psalms and different praises to the Lord. And they're not allowed to go into the Hagia Sophia to sing, but scientists were allowed to go in. It was recently a museum. Unfortunately, this year, it's turned back into fully a mosque. But in 1935, it turned into a museum, and then here lately with some of the radical Islam that's going on in that area, it went back to being a mosque. They were allowed to go inside with this high-tech recording equipment and get a balloon and pop it and record the sound that the balloon makes inside of this cathedral. And that information, through the science that we have today, that God has given us the ability through the mindset and the intellect of mankind to be able to pull together and to create these machines that can record this, they can take all of that spatial recording and science, and they can get this group, this Cappella Romania, and they can somehow or another merge that data and that recording together. And they have recordings now of what they believe it would sound like to have those Byzantine chants sung in the Hagia Sophia. Of course, there's no way to prove it because none of us were around 500 years ago the last time that you were able to sing in there. And I was listening to this article on NPR about this, and we were listening this morning to those particular chants, and you would have these bass singers, and they were just this groan, this beautiful groaning sound that was just echoing. And it was telling us to imagine what it would be like to be inside of that cathedral that once belonged to the people of God to sing praises to Him. And I thought about this passage that's what it's like, that we can still observe. We can still go now, and I hope it's one of the top places that I hope to go to. We can go there now and still see the cathedral. We will see turrets around, or whatever you call those spires, whatever. Turrets. We'll know that it is a mosque, that there is a fallen nature to it now. And we won't be able to sing praises, but we can groan and long, and we can even now, you can go to Apple Music and get those, and you can listen, you can learn how to sing along in those chants, and we can groan and moan and long for praises of God to be brought back to that place in the name of Jesus Christ. It is sad to think that it's not like that right now. But we should look, we should listen, and we should praise the Lord that even in that transition, that here NPR is doing this article that is giving us the same hint of what we have in Romans 8 about this groaning and longing, because it is being in awe of the majesty of what mankind has done for one who is greater than mankind, who created mankind, and whose name is above all names. We are able to go into this place of awe, and we're able to go into this time of groaning, but we're not stuck there. Because see, inside of this particular psalm, that when we read about mankind and what the Lord has done for mankind, we on this side of the gospel should be reminded that this particular passage, verses 5 through 8, excuse me, 4 through 6, is quoted again in Hebrews. Let me, if you have your Bibles with you, turn over to Hebrews real quickly. And we'll see where this is quoted again. It says, "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are," this is chapter 2, verse 5. "For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere," in Psalm 8, "what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You have made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, Jesus Christ, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers." I'm going to stop there just for a second to go back to Romans 8. And to remember what we were given in this particular promise as we were looking at creation groaning. Look there in Romans chapter 8 in verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation," the revealing of the sons of God. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in what he does not see, for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray, for we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. In our creed today, we talked about how the Lord is at the right hand, that Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. Now get this, people. So as we are first brought to this place where, as we look at creation, as we look at his word, as we look at the people that he has created, we are called to be drawn to glorifying his name, to be in all of him. And then because of the reality of sin and because of corruption that has been imposed upon this creation, we are to groan and moan in repentance and in longing. But then there's this expectation of hope. See, if you look, I've got an acronym there. It's all, groan, and expect. This hope that we have in something that we do not see, but something that is occurring right now and is going to come further. We see there in Romans 8 that every time that it was talking about the redemption of creation, it says that creation is longing to see the revealing of who are his people, who are the sons of God, who are the redeemed. They're looking forward to seeing what Jesus has saved, what Jesus has brought to himself. And even though we can groan and moan that we can't go over and sing in the cathedral, look at what it says here in Hebrews. It says that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And behold, I and the children God has given me. See, Jesus Christ is singing right now in intercession for us. He is not in just a cathedral made by the hands of man. He is standing there in the glory of the Father, and he is singing because he is not ashamed of us. And he is saying, I am going to sing praises to my Father, and I am going to tell my brothers of your might and your glory, because I and the children of God are going to be glorified in you. That is going on right now in the heavenlies. We don't see it, but we hope in it, because by those proclamations, by those psalms that Jesus is singing right now, it is the hope of our salvation. We cannot hear him sing them, but we can hope in them, and we will. We will sing with him. We are singing with him now, but we will sing in a fullness with him in the day to come. That'll be far greater than the opportunity that I do pray that one day that I will get to go to the Hagia Sophia and sing those praises to his name. But even greater than that, we will stand with Jesus Christ, and he will sing praises before us, not being ashamed of us. So as we look at his creatures of bread and wine, looking at these things in the amazement that not only did he create the wheat and the grapes that allow us to even just be amazed at that, the how they grow and how they come about and how we can create food, and then mankind comes and we actually somewhat corrupt it. But as we try to present it before the Lord in obedience, We're not just hoping in the sustenance of what he provides for us in the food and in the drink. We know that we have a Redeemer in Jesus Christ as he places all of these things. All of these things are under his feet. We hope in what this points to. This is a type of groaning. If you come to this table, you should come with groaning and repentance, but also with expectations and hope, knowing that because of his broken body, because of his spilt blood, he stands before the Father and sings praises on our behalf. This table is for the Lord's people. Let us go to it with repentance and faith and praise to his name and glory. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm. Teach us how to practice it, to go outside of this place, inside of this place, to go into our workplace, to look at every interaction that we see and be in all of you. And then teach us how to rightfully groan, a groan of repentance, a groan of faith, and help us to expect with hope and anticipation to see the fullest of your glory come about. Father, teach us these things. Teach us how to sing like Jesus does. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.